Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, The Rose Opera House. Built in the 1870s, the Rose Opera House has seen generations of history pass by it. From being a playhouse to a movie house to an all-purpose gathering place for the community, thousands of souls have come and gone through its doors. Unlike many historic theaters, the Rose does not have a documented, dark, tragic story attached to it. It has a relatively peaceful timeline of existence. When it was near the end of its physical life and on the list for destruction, a group of locals decided to invest and preserve the building for future generations. Today, the spirits of the past continue to reside in the place they found so much happiness in life. At least many of them do. Today on The Grave Talks, we discuss the Haunted Rose Opera House with paranormal investigator Renee Hill.
Well, the beginnings of it was original building was built in 1871. So in this town, and it's in Cynthiana, Kentucky, and that's about 45 minutes north of Lexington, small town, farm community type of thing. But they had the farming that came to that community, it sprouted up, and they've got this old downtown. It's about three blocks. It looks like the old West. Everything's got that flat front, like brick building where they're all sandwiched next to each other. And they opened that up to start doing plays. And it's a two-story building. And what's neat is I never imagined the plays going on the second story, but you actually went up the stairs and there was that flat floor where they just put the chairs. You imagine all the cowboys, you know, sitting there ready for their entertainment. And you can see up in the ceiling this round soffit, and it's actually where the balcony was, but they put a ceiling so you don't recognize it at first. But we were able to go up there, and you can see the original benches, the original ceiling paint, so it's really neat. Eventually they went to silent movies, and now they do, like, you know, current events. And it was about to be tore down, and three owners came in together and bought the place, and they just loved it. They were all locals, and they decided to try and save it. And I'm glad they did, because it is definitely neat, filled with history. It's got like original 1940s door handles. It's all Art Deco, and the original exit signs. And they're trying to put that thing back together. So
that's awesome to see that when people do that and they do find a way to kind of slowly piece a place like that back together. It's interesting because I've seen many of them over the years throughout the country where it's not as easy as let's just take this house and let's reframe it and put new drywall up. And then essentially the bones of the house are kind of original, but everything else is, you know, new. With a theater, you have so much more involved. You have the architecture, which makes it really what it is. And all of the character that makes it what it is. So even finding ways of, a lot of it comes back to just trying to restore the original. It's not going down to the hardware store and let's buy some new Art Deco pieces to attach to this corner of the ceiling or anything like that. It's a lot of craftsmanship that still has to be either redone or redefined or kind of brought back and refurbished to make it what it was. So that's quite an endeavor for folks to take up. Did they have any idea at the time of when they said, let's try and take this place up, what would be involved with it? Did they have any idea of the history of the hauntings involved with this location? What was their knowledge of the building?
They had, like, so when we got there, we were given a tour of the building by one of the owners, and he used to work there when he was young. And so he knew a lot of the history of it. And I think, I don't know if anyone ever knows what they're really getting into with these remodels, because they don't make money. That's for sure.
No.
Every movie they show, every paranormal tour they give is going into this building, and it's completely out of love. And they never were believers in the paranormal until the three of them bought it and started fixing it up, and stuff just started happening to them that they cannot deny. And now all three of them are full on believers. And it's interesting because they're so proud of it. Like, oh my gosh, we have something so neat here. And they're like little kids, you know, us and the paranormal that we're touring all the time. And we see this stuff on a regular basis because we go to all these locations. It was almost like listening to a kid at Christmas tell a story about, you know, I've got this haunted place, and oh my gosh, it's so cool the things that happen here.
Accepting it for the first time that, oh my gosh, this stuff is real. And I want to talk about some of those experiences and hear about some of the things that happened once they purchased it, but we'll do that a little bit later on in the interview. Give me more about the timeline of the Rose Opera House and what its operations kind of looked like from 1871 up until present day. The ins and the outs, the openings, the closings, the various uses of the building. What did it look like?
Well, and when it originally opened in the 1871, and it was just the two-story building, it was called Aeolian Hall. And, you know, it was just the place for all the locals to get their only source of entertainment. And it has continued to stay throughout the years, as that's the use for this building, has always been entertainment, from the silent movies to local plays to, you know, maybe someone's having an event there. And now they've added, since the paranormal, they've added ghost tours and allowing to rent it out for the paranormal. But it has always been a place for entertainment. But also in 1941, they expanded it out. And so they created a whole new hall on the first level. And that, it was in the 40s, and that's where you get all the Art Deco that comes in. And why the building then all of a sudden has that Art Deco look to it. So they had a re-grand opening in 1941, and it has the, you know, the theater seating, and it's all the original chairs that are still there. And they've got these huge Art Deco lights on the side. It's really neat. It really still has its character today. So that's really neat to see.
So when it was, they did the kind of the addition and the Art Deco upgrade at the time, which would have been the modern look of that moment. Did it become like a local movie theater house as well, or did it kind of continue as joint use for plays and entertainment, or what continued on from there?
Well, it did have movies, and then so people would go to see the, you know, the up and coming movies, let's say through the 70s and 80s and stuff. But their projector, this is a neat story, their projector went out. And it just wasn't up to date. It wasn't a digital projector. Mm-hmm. And so they lost this income because they couldn't. That's the only format the movies are coming in. Mm-hmm. And so Cynthiana, Kentucky is actually the birthplace of the gentleman that wrote The Walking Dead. So this is the town that's the inspiration for that well-known television show. Mm-hmm. And so he's a local. I'm actually, on the side of the building is a really neat mural from The Walking Dead. People come from all around just to take their picture in front of it. But he came into town. He heard about the opera house struggling, and he actually bought them several hundred thousand dollars for this projector, and he gave it to them. So they are once again playing the current today's movies because of that writer of The Walking Dead. That was his hometown. So they're able to now keep making some more money and keep putting it into the opera house. So
that's great to hear. Zombies to the rescue. now tell me, obviously there's a lot of history here when we go back to a building from 1871 and theaters in general. A lot of energy, a lot of emotions expelled in a theater, whether you're the person, if it's a live performance on stage performing, or you're someone in the audience taking it in, it's an emotional experience. So naturally, theaters tend to have, you know, a lot of things seemingly built up in them, almost like a battery. Take me back. What is this can go into rumors as well, but what are you aware of as far as some of the first reported experiences of there being a haunting there? This can go way back. This can be a friend told a friend. But where, how far back does it go where the rumors of this place being haunted start?
And also to talk about that emotional thing about the theater and kind of how spiritual is, what is another kind of emotional section is way up in the back is the segregated section, mm-hmm. where, you know, the black people had to sit and were forced to sit up there. And it's just so far in the back. And it's like this little nook that's tucked out back there. So kind of has another like emotional level to kind of see that, you sure. know, involved. In the theater. And, but as far as hauntings, a lot of it didn't really like the stories that I'm hearing from the owners really started with them, and they don't really talk about anything before that. So I don't know if, you know, they just don't know the people before. It just really got started with them working there. And, they had even, one of their stories is they're in the old part of the building in the original theater room, and they have chairs they have to set up, and they are literally standing there and the chairs flip over and bang on the floor. Like they literally just flip right in front of them. And so that was like one of their first things that kind of weirded them out. But as they're working there at night, they're starting to hear voices, conversations. They go down the hall and nobody's there. They hear footsteps up the stairs. They go, and again, there's nobody there. And they're just kind of like, okay. And eventually they start to see full body apparition, which is, they see this continuously over and over again, a lady in white, which seems to be a couple, you know, places have a lady in white. And this theater has a lady in white. And there's a story from the owner that the ceiling had actually caved in on the upper story right in front of the projector room. And they were having a movie that night, and because the bottom story was fine and the ceiling was fine there, they're still going to do the movie. But he had to crawl over this, all the plaster, all the stuff that fell off the ceiling to get into that room. And as he's starting the movie up, he sees a lady walk by. And his mind, and she goes into the upper balcony, and his mind goes, how did that lady get over all that stuff? Like he didn't hear anything, and mm-hmm. he had to literally climb over this stuff. And he goes, well, she's not allowed to be up here. And he goes after her onto the balcony, and there's nobody there. And he saw her as solid as you and me walk by and go onto that balcony and turn into that. And then he went out there, and there's no way off that balcony. There's no other stairs. There's no other entrance. There's one way in and out. And that's just one of the times that he has seen her. So, and there's been paranormal investigators that have seen her as well. They also have, there's three main spirits that are continued to find over and over. There's children. They keep having children's voices, playing, laughter. That's down below in the 1941 area, more by the stage. And they have a guy that's usually backstage, but he's kind of grumpy. So they call him, you know, the grumpy male, the spirit. Nothing, you know, evil or anything that's, you know, really, really bad, but he's just kind of a grumpy guy. So that's their three main experiences. And then once they started, they've just, all three owners are complete turned around believers in the paranormal now. There's no doubt in their mind, and that spirits exist, and they've seen it for themselves.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.